This is a time when our families, you know, traditionally gather during the holidays and during Christmas time. So my family on my parents' side, our kind of extended family, we gathered yesterday. We would have done it in person, but with the pandemic, so we went virtual, and we, through quite a bit of work and coordination, had presents, you know, exchanged ahead of time, and so we were set up with FaceTime and kind of a Zoom type deal, and so that, you know, it's different. This whole year is different. Most everything we're doing is different, and so it wasn't, you know, it wasn't what we're used to, but it was still good. It's still, I want to remind you that there are a number of people who are struggling during the holidays, and loneliness is always an issue, and this year even more. But if you have a loved one that's alive that you can buy a present for, and even if you have to mail it to them, you are blessed, and be thankful for that, because there are people struggling in this life who have loved ones that aren't, they've passed away. So here we are, some of us complaining about our hardships, and they can't even FaceTime their loved ones. So anyway, be praying and be thoughtful for people. And I remind you to give thanks to God for every good thing we have, because He's the reason. He's the author of it. Anything that we have that is good, it's because of our Creator, for sure. So, you know, the title of today's sermon is, What Did You Get? And, you know, this is a question that is commonly asked after Christmas time, maybe more so with children. What did you get? What did you get for Christmas? And I want to take our minds to ask Christians. If you are a Christian, if you've been baptized, had your sins washed away, you've given your life to Christ, you've been saved, if that's you, then you received some things. And this morning I want to remind you of three things that you received when you became a Christian, things that you got. And so basically today's sermon is a reminder. It's about gratitude, being grateful. We have things we received, and maybe we take them for granted. So flip in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And, you know, we read about Jesus coming as coming to earth as a baby, Mary and Joseph and Mary having Jesus. And, you know, just a quick reminder, so Luke chapter 2, there was a census that was required. And so Mary and Joseph, they have to go to Bethlehem for the census. And while it's horrible timing for them, in earthly ways, not a good time to have a child. But that's when Mary gave birth to Jesus, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. They weren't even in a proper place, even with family. Definitely were not at home. And an angel appeared and spoke to, of all people, shepherds in a field. And so this is the moment. it's a moment recorded in Scripture because it has value. And I want to kind of, you know, talk in a minute about is it overvalued, which is an odd concept. But it has value because this is God sending His eternal Son to solve mankind's eternal sin. And so He does it with Jesus as a baby. And anyway, the angels don't appear to the king. They don't appear to, you know, the priests. They don't appear to what man would say are important people. The angel appears to strangers, and of all that, just a common shepherds in a field. But when the angel does, verse 10, the angel says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." And a quick reminder, the gospel of Jesus Christ is for every person. It's for every sinner. And every person is a sinner. All have sinned, Scripture says. All of us fall short of God's glory. If you think you're a pretty good person, that's only because you're comparing yourself to a bunch of other sinners. You know, none of us are perfect. None of us are righteous. None of us are where God is in holiness in and of ourselves. And so the gospel is for all people. And that's why the angel says to these shepherds, This is a good day because a Savior's been born, a Savior for all. This is good news for all people. So verse 11, he says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." Let me kind of take aside a moment and just kind of clean something up real quick, and then we'll go on here. I remind you, the early church, they did not know what this day was, or if they did, they didn't record it, they didn't celebrate it, they didn't stop what they're doing one time a year and think about Jesus' birth. Why did the early church not do that? Well, I think the obvious answer is they were not instructed to. They were not, Jesus didn't give that directive, and Scripture didn't give that, and the apostles didn't teach that. And so Jesus' birth, while it's so precious to us and valuable because it's when God sent His Son to die, to eventually die for us. It's when God sent His Son to the earth, and that's a precious story, and it's important. But we do what Scripture says, and that is what we just did in communion. Jesus did tell His apostles, remember this day, the first day of the week, when Jesus rose from the dead. Remember His death, burial, and resurrection. And so we celebrate that as a church. And individually, how you recognize one day or the other, Romans 14 speaks about that. But as a church, we don't make a big, big deal about Christmas because God didn't ask us to. And so, and yet I love that people are thinking about Jesus right now. Anytime people are thinking about Jesus, if they're doing it appropriately, it's a good thing. But this day, a Savior was born in the city of David, Bethlehem, and this started God's eternal plan to save us, to save you and to save me. He started it here. It was finished on the cross. Remember, Jesus said, "It is finished." Jesus finished His work, His job to die for our sins and to die sinless. And He did it on the cross. He finished. He said, "It is finished," and then He rose from the dead on the third day. And so our Scripture reading today really matches this verse in Luke, because it says, verse 16, "God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." God sent His Son, and He sent Him as a baby. And that story to us of God's love is what should be precious and important. And so the fact is, God wants to save. People have a misconception about God being a condemning God, or judging God, or a wrathful God. And God has those qualities in their appropriate time and place. But God desires to save. And you say, well, how do you know He desires to save? Well, He sent His only Son to suffer for every single human, every person, every soul. That's how we know God wants to save. And so the important question is, are you accepting God or are you rejecting God? We have a Savior if we will obey Him. And so the fact is, someone paid your eternal debt of sin. That debt is paid. I heard someone recently kind of explain it this way. In a human court, if a person commits a crime, and let's say it's a horrible crime in our eyes, all right, rape and murder, and they're in a human court, and they tell the judge, "Listen, I'm really sorry, I've repented, and I'm not going to do it again." The judge doesn't just say, "Okay, you're free to go." That's not how it works, and it's not how it works in God's court either, and that's called Judgment Day. The fact is, a punishment has to be paid, a debt. There's a debt to society in human terms, but there's an eternal debt with our sin, and that has to be paid for us to be free. And you say, well, what's so important about us having a Savior? That's what's important. We had someone that paid that. Someone paid that eternal price for your sins, and that's Jesus. And so in Christ, we have that. Secondly, something else. I take your minds to John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, "I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." You may not know it. You know, we don't think about this a lot. We have a lot of things we're pursuing. You know what you really want? You just don't know it. And that is, you want to be in God's presence. Because in really Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit speaks about that. Don't you want love and joy? Don't you want to be where peace is and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness, self-control? Those are fruit of the Spirit. That's what God is. And Jesus says, you can come to God, but you have to come through me. And that's in a word that's called a mediator. 1 Timothy 2:5 says, for there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all. A mediator, that's what we have. And Hebrews tells us not just any mediator, but we have a high priest. That's what a high priest was, a mediator between the nation of Israel and God. We have a high priest who, we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And that's a big deal. Why is it such a big deal that we have a mediator? Read on in verse 16. Hebrew writer tells us, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne. Draw near to the throne, that we may receive mercy and find grace and to help in time of need. If you have a problem that you feel like the President of the United States could solve, you know, if you're like many of us, you're watching the news because many people are due to possibly, if it passes through our government, receive another stimulus check. It's kind of funny. We may not sometimes pay attention to what the government's doing, but when they talk about cutting us a check, some of us perk up a little bit. We say, hey, hold on. Something might be happening here. Normally, when they talk about passing laws and whatever they're filibustering and whatever's going on, it doesn't seem to affect us very directly. But when a check comes in the mail, that's pretty direct. So, anyway, what you may have an issue that you think the president could solve, and if you wanted to go meet with the president of the United States, good luck with that. Good luck. What if you had a problem that you thought the governor of your state could solve? Go try to meet with the governor of your state. In Oklahoma, that's Governor Stitt. You might somehow have enough connections, be able to pull enough strings, jump through enough hoops to have a meeting with the governor of your state. Maybe. I don't know what that would take. What about a meeting with the Almighty? You say, what did you get? Well, in Christ, when you became a Christian, you got the ability, you received the ability to have a meeting with the Almighty, with a mediator, one who says, I know this one, and I understand this one. And we can go before the Almighty in prayer, and we take that for granted because we think, well, anyone can pray, and God's hearing prayers, and God loves everyone, and He cares about everyone, not like His own children. In Christ, we have a precious thing. It's called a mediator. And it's for us in help of in times of need. Maybe about a year ago, there was an evening when Sydney, our middle daughter, when she called, and she was in Tulsa and trying to make her way back to Sand Springs, and she was having some trouble. Her phone battery was about to go dead. Number two, she did not have a charger in the car. Number three, she didn't exactly know where she was. And number four, and this is the worst one, she gets this from me, is she's not really good with navigation. And she can kind of get turned around and just does, that's just not her forte. And she, bless her heart, if she had gotten her mother's genes on that, she'd have been great. But she got mine, and so she didn't quite know what to do. Anyway, so she calls me. And you know, a little bit of panic because typically, well, if you have your phone or if you have your charger, we'll, you know, I can talk you through it. We'll eventually get you somewhere where you know where you are, all that. Well, battery's about to go dead, so this is about to be it. This might be the last phone call till she figures something out. I can't go find her. That's not plausible. So I did tell her, you know, you might go to a Quick Trip or someplace and buy a charger, But you think about it, in this day and time, what your phone provides you when you're in a bind out somewhere, if you have car trouble, if you any kind of trouble and you're out, guess what your lifeline to all your resources is? Your lifeline is this. It's our phone. And if you don't have that, so, you know, I told her it was getting later in the day, and so she's in Tulsa. Sand Springs is west of Tulsa. I said, drive toward the sun. Find the sun and drive that way. That'll at least get you more in our more in the general vicinity. Maybe get you in our zip code. You know, drive to the sun. That's west. But anyway, you can find the sun. And so she did, and she eventually arrived at a place where she knew where she was going, and made her way home. But what your phone does for you when you're in need is what we have in Jesus. What we have in Jesus is our lifeline to the Almighty. You think about, well, do you ever need mercy? Do you ever need grace? You know, mercy is when you deserve something bad, but you're granted mercy in lieu of it. And grace is when you're given something good that you did not deserve. And then in times of need, are you ever in times of need? Do you ever struggle? Do you ever get down? Do you ever have doubts? We had a class this morning about doubts. Do you ever hurt? Are you ever sad? Are you ever fearful? Ever frustrated? Maybe feel helpless. Maybe feel lost. Guess what you need? You need a meeting with the one who made you, your Creator. Don't think for a minute that we somehow got here by some massive cosmic accident. That's not how we're here. We're here by a Creator, the one true loving God Almighty, and Jesus. In Jesus, we have a mediator. Isn't that amazing? So those are two things. There's one more. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again." So if you're a Christian, you are born again. Spiritually, you were dead. Guess what? In baptism, that's time and place. God washed your sins away. You're a new creature, a new creation. You are a child of God, a Christian. So you're born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. There are, you know, regarding our problems, we have a long list of human leaders who've pledged to solve our problems. And in our nation, you know, many have said, and more it tends to be politicians, but it can be other people in different high positions. Politicians are more notorious because of what they're able to do with government, of pledging to be able to do something for society. And oftentimes good is done by government. So government's not all bad. But I do remember kind of noticing how presidential candidates through the years, and looking back on the ones who pledged that, you know, things are really going to change, and it was Trump, and before Trump it was Obama, and then it was, before that it was Bush, and before that it was Clinton, and before that it was Bush, and before that it was Reagan, and before Reagan it was Carter. And I'm 50, so that's as far back as I go is Carter. There were other presidents before that, I'm pretty sure, but I don't really, can't vouch for that. But I know all of those, I remember distinctly, all of them promising how life would really change dramatically. And I remember the result, in my opinion, my observation, it wasn't so dramatic. And my point is, when we put our faith in people, smart people, maybe famous people, talented people, when we put our hope and trust in those people, that hope and trust is failed. It is crushed. It is a letdown. And it's the reason we follow Christ. Jesus Christ is the only one that has conquered your greatest fear, and that is death. Only Jesus Christ has done that. That's why our hope is in Him. And so we are born again to what? Verse 4, look at this. To an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, unfading. What did you incidentally, read on to the end here. In this we rejoice. Why? Though for now a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. This, if you're experiencing a trial right now, that's what life is. It's one trial after another. There are many joys in this life, but there are also many hardships. It's why old people are cranky. Life is hard. And the older you get, you trade certain problems for other problems. So yeah, we're grieved by trials, but what is this hope about? Let me ask you something. Do you remember what you received last year for Christmas? Maybe a number of presents, probably, but maybe one that you were most excited to receive. Do you remember what that was? You look back on times in the past when we've received gifts. I remember one of my all-time favorite gifts as a child. My parents, one year, I liked to play drums and bang on things, and they got me it was a drum pad, electronic. It's called Sensonic drums, and it was this small drum pad that you could plug into a speaker, to headphones, and you could program it. You could do a lot of different things. And let me tell you, in the mid '80s, that was some really early '80s. That was some amazing technology for a young boy in Shakota, Oklahoma. And I love that. I love that. And then eventually it broke. Do you remember wanting something that was valuable and you look forward to getting it? Maybe it was a phone. You ever got a new phone that you thought was just wonderful, amazing? Smartphones do so many things. You get a new phone, man, this is great. And in 2 years, the battery doesn't last you half a day, and you want to chunk that thing. It's a big paperweight. Everything we get eventually breaks. Everything you put your hope in on earth is imperfect. Whether it's people, maybe it's a vacation that didn't quite live up to all your dreams about it. Everything, hobbies, everything on earth is somehow, and that's why these words are important. Look, perishable, defiled, unfading. That's things on earth that we cling to. Eventually, somehow it lets us down. But there's one thing that won't let us down, and that is heaven. And we sang a song just a minute ago, There's a Stirring. And that song talks about us rising up. And it's talking about heaven. Is talking about the day that we'll be called to God. What will judgment day be like? I don't know, but if you're in Christ and you're walking with Christ, it'll be a good day, because that will be the day that God says, welcome in my good and faithful servant to your reward. That reward is kept for us. And the truth is, we don't think about that enough. We try to cling to this life like it is everything. And we are just strangers here passing through. The next life is what is everything. The next life is eternal. So the fact is, these three things that we have in Christ, the pandemic doesn't change these things at all. It doesn't affect these three. It doesn't lessen these three. You have these. What do you have? What did you get in Christ? You received three things that this life can't touch. Salvation, a mediator, and hope for heaven that is firm and true, and it is waiting for us. And so I hope this is some encouragement to you today. Let's pray with me, and let's go before the Father about the things we've been studying about. God, we come to your throne, and through Christ we do that, our mediator, our Savior. And we know we cannot... go to certain human officials that are in high places, in high courts. We can't just go have a meeting with them, but we can come to your throne, the Creator, the eternal God. And we thank you for that. And we thank you for all the gifts you've given us. And we pray that you would help us in times when we doubt, in times when we struggle, when we don't understand why, when we suffer. We pray for your strength, your wisdom. Give us greater faith. Help us to know how much you love us and how close you are to us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A couple quick announcements, and then we'll have shepherd time, and we'll also have a picture presentation after that. Happy to announce that Brian and Tara Jones had their baby recently, and hold on, let me get it here. Hudson Harvey was born Friday, and so we celebrate with them and all their family. We know how excited they are. Remind you that tonight the teens are having a Christmas party tonight. The teens will do that from 5 to 6, and food is provided. And if young people, teenagers, you should be aware that if you RSVP'd previously, then and you've been informed by Zach that your exchange gift, your gift exchange, that's been provided already. But if you've not and you still want to come, get a gift, $10 limit, teen building tonight, 5 to 6. If you're unsure, if you have a gift or need to bring a gift, just check with Zach. Sorry. Time has changed, 5 to 6:30, so hour and a half. Yeah. If you have any questions, just check with Zach. So I know the teens are going to have a good time tonight. All right. That's all I have. I'll turn it over to Curtis.
So much easier to access the throne room than it is to get to see the Governor Stitt. And we're invited in. Come and bring your petitions in. I want to remind everybody that we do have folks out there who are struggling with COVID that are among our number, whether individuals in our number or in family members extended out. In our group, I know we've been having many messages about Michael Romine's sister, who's having great difficulty with COVID and was in an induced medical coma for a while trying to get her to recover, and she's still struggling as far as I know. We've got some upcoming surgeries. We have some surgeries that happened a week or so ago and people are recovering. So a lot of physical ailments, and we want to bring those to the Father. Won't you join me in prayer? Almighty Father in heaven, we're so thankful that You do invite us in, that You do love us, that you want us to bring our petitions before You, that You hear us. Father, we pray that You bring relief to those who are hurting and recovery to those that are sick. We pray that You speed that along, and pray, Father, for relief for those in the family who are dealing with the situations. It can be so stressful and anxiety so high. We know, Father, that we can have faith in You and that whatever the outcome, You are in charge, Father. We love You and thank You so much for Your Son, for the salvation that we have in Him, the home that's been prepared for us on the other side. In His holy name we pray. Amen.
It's not about me.
It's not about me.
It's not about you.
It's not about you.
It's not about them.
Oh,
not about you.